Southwest Airlines canceled dozens of flights yesterday after a mid-air explosion killed a passenger last week. The airline grounded the planes for emergency engine inspections. Last Tuesday, an engine of a Boeing 737 exploded on a Dallas-bound flight, and a passenger was partially sucked out a broken window. She died of her injuries. Here's the pilot, Tammy Jo Schultz, speaking with an air traffic controller.
Is your airplane physically on fire?
No, it's not on fire, but part of it's missing. They said there was a hole and someone went out.
I'm sorry, you said there was a hole and somebody went out? South of 1380, it doesn't matter. We'll work it out there. So the airport's just off to your right. Report it in sight, please.
In sight.
Captain Schultz was called a hero for calmly bringing the depressurized airplane safely to the ground in Philadelphia. Others said her military experience gave her the skills she needed to respond to the emergency. But the incident also raises concerns about the shortage of airline pilots. Let's bring in Seth Kaplan. He's managing partner at Airline Weekly. Seth, welcome back.
Hi, Eric.
Captain Schultz was trained in the Navy flying F-18 Hornets. What percentage of commercial airline pilots today come from the military?
Well, it's a dwindling percentage. That used to be the pipeline. Vietnam-era pilots especially, any of us who flew on airplanes in the 1980s, 90s, and onward, were almost certainly carried by those pilots. Nowadays, more common for pilots to take a different path, to go to flight school. Very commonly, they begin as civilians, although certainly still a fair number of pilots with military backgrounds.
Why is the military pipeline shut down more? They're finding more lucrative jobs elsewhere?
Yeah, it's first of all, Vietnam, of course, was just that big event where you had all of those pilots with all of those experience come out at once at a time when the airline industry was just set to begin growing very rapidly following deregulation in the late 1970s. So it just kind of all came together at once. Now, of course, those pilots are retiring. They have to retire when they hit 65. Actually, a number of years back, it used to be 60. And that means airlines, of course, need to look for new pilots to fill the gap.
Well, only about 6% of commercial pilots in the U.S. today are women, according to the Institute for Women Aviation Worldwide. So why is Captain Schultz such an outlier? Why aren't there more female pilots to help fill that supply chain?
As with a lot of male-dominated industries, you know, it started with rules that just prohibited them from flying. You know, media accounts out there of Tammy Jo Schultz talking about how she was told no over and over and over again. She persisted, of course, and became a successful military pilot. Even there, she wasn't allowed to fly combat missions. That rule changed a few years later. Now, I think especially with what happened last week, hopefully more of a virtuous cycle of women, young women, seeing that, yes, this is not only something they're very much allowed to do, but somewhere where they can succeed.
You mentioned that the military pilot pipeline has dried up a bit in the last decades. What else is driving this shortage across the industry of pilots?
Well, there was an important rule that changed several years back following the Colgan air crash near Buffalo back in 2009. After that, the rule in terms of how many hours of experience you need to begin flying as a commercial pilot changed dramatically. It went from 250 hours to 1,500 hours. So that means that even after a pilot has gone through all the flight school and so forth, they need years of experience doing something else before they can actually fly commercially. And so that created a huge gap where for several years, you basically didn't have any new pilots right after that rule changed. Yeah, they can work doing other things other than flying for airlines. Ironically, they can even be instructors. I mean, you can have so much experience that you're allowed to teach other people how to fly, yet you're still not allowed to fly for an airline. And so between all the time it takes and then just the money it takes, which prevents some people from doing it, there's been this shortage. Pilot unions, by the way, say, you know what, there's not really a shortage. It's just that airlines don't want to pay as much as it would take to fully staff their flights, especially some of the smaller aircraft where airlines don't tend to pay as much for those pilots.
Yeah, 1,500 hours to get your license, and a commercial license can cost upwards of $10,000, $12,000, I understand it. What are airlines doing, if anything, to try to lower the barriers for pilots or work with unions to try to make entry-level jobs more accessible?
Well, they're giving big raises unilaterally. You know, you have the airlines just sort of recognizing, saying, hey, we need to staff these flights. What's it going to take? And in some cases, they've gone to the unions and say, yeah, it's time to give big raises. They're helping with the training, you know, subsidizing it in various ways. But the impact in smaller communities, especially that depend on those smaller aircraft, just the economics are such that if you don't have very many passengers on the plane, you know, the airline feels like it can't pay the pilot all that much money to fly it. They've been hit hard. It's not at what you call the mainline airlines, you know, the big jets being flown at American, Delta, United, and so forth. Where
it's the smaller carriers that are being hit the hardest.
Smaller carriers, exactly.
Seth Kaplan is managing partner at the industry publication Airline Weekly. Seth, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Eric.